Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. My name is Greg Whiting, pastor of Weymouth Community Church, and I'm putting together a series of podcasts where I am basically doing my Bible reading devotional and encouraging you to follow along and hope that it will be an encouragement and challenge to you as you simply read the scriptures, ask God to help you to know what they mean, and how to apply them to your life. Reading through genres of scripture, Saturday, March 28th, 2020. But the scripture is Mark 5 and 6. So on Saturdays, we are in the Gospels. So I'm reading these chapters, and we'll give some comments and then prayer at the end. But let's begin with prayer now. Father, help me as I read your word, that your Holy Spirit would help me to understand, that I would be fully engaged in your word as I read, and that if there's something, Father, that I can take to apply to my mind, to my heart, to my life today, that you would help me to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 5. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Well, we're halfway through the chapter, but I just want to stop to mention what an incredible story that is. To think of basically Jesus and demons having a conversation, Jesus having the power to cast out demons, to cast them into pigs. And although he basically saved this man's life and helped restore him physically and spiritually, the people of the day, especially who lost their pigs, were pretty upset and wanted Jesus to leave. And Jesus' words to this man who wanted to go with him are pretty telling. "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." I have not had demons cast out of me by Jesus, but he has certainly changed my life and given me a story. Let's continue, chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Well, at the end there, chapter 5, that's a little strange, although I've seen it several times now, where in the same chapter, Jesus is telling a man to go and tell his own people everything Jesus had done for them. And here he's saying not to talk about it. And there were different reasons, I know, from previous readings that Jesus had. But the incredible miracles that he does here, this woman who touches him and is healed immediately, Jesus being fully God but also fully man, in this case, not knowing who touched him and using this as a teaching example. And the synagogue leader, whose daughter was dead, and yet Jesus takes a few of his disciples and raises her to life. Chapter 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Let's take a pause here. That's amazing to me. Couldn't heal anyone or do any miracles except heal a few sick people. That's pretty amazing. But I think the point is here is that the people he lived with, his own town, did not accept him. They had no faith. And that included most of his family at the time. They point out, you know, that he was a carpenter. He learned that from his dad, Joseph. That he was Mary's son. And that they had had more children after Jesus was born. Let's continue here. I guess we're still in verse 6. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Take a pause here. So Jesus is sending his disciples out two by two. They have authority now also to cast out demons. They're not to take anything, but to let other people welcome them in. And if they don't, they leave, and it's a testimony against that home that they are not accepting Christ or his disciples. And they did heal many people by the power that Jesus had given them. And of course, what they're really doing is they were preaching that people needed to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus. Let's continue in verse 14. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah, and still others claimed, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Wow, so we're brought in here to what had happened to John the Baptist and how he died. And although certainly, it did not surprise God. It did not take Jesus out of his plan. John knew that he needed to decrease and Jesus increase. It's still pretty incredible as we read about the sinfulness of man and how that ended in the execution of this prophet who had laid the groundwork for Jesus to come. Continue in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So this is the, of course, the feeding of the 5,000. Again, an incredible miracle. Jesus is including them in the miracle, telling them to give them something to eat. He's setting them up for what they're about to see. And 500 or 5,000 men, which means there would have been women and children as well, as we read in other places. Jesus feeds them and shows who he was. Interesting, that is followed then, verse 45, with this. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. So, that's the end of chapter 6, and this last passage here, following the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, plus the women and children, Jesus sends his disciples out on the boat. He goes and prays, and then they're out in the water. The wind comes up. They're in peril. Jesus comes walking to them. They think it's a ghost. He tells them to take courage. He gets into the boat. The wind dies down. And this is one of the things that really strikes me and may be my main takeaway here. In verse 51, chapter 6, they were completely amazed. And this is 52. For they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. We often hear that when people who are unwilling to accept who Jesus is and what he has said. The disciples, the closest men to him who have seen all these miracles, their hearts were hardened. For they had not understood about the loaves. That takes me back then to the feeding of the 5,000. They saw Jesus feed thousands of people with five loaves and two fish out of nothing. Well, out of the five loaves and two fish, he created all these basketfuls. They should have understood who Jesus was because of what he had done. Therefore, when he's walking to you on water and you're in a storm, he can calm the storm. There's nothing to be afraid of. I guess that's what really sticks in my heart for my personal application of today's reading. I have seen God do incredible things in my life. I have seen him change people's lives incredibly when no one thought that would happen. I know that he is faithful. I've learned, I've read who he is. I've seen what he can do. I know his character. And yet, when I'm in the middle of a crisis, when I'm in the middle of a storm, I can easily get afraid because I have not understood the miracle of the loaves, because I have not understood, remembered, taken to heart what God has done previously. So that's what I'm going to take away today. During this time of COVID-19, during this time of crisis for the world and different challenges I face personally and in my own family, that through all of this, that I would remember that God is there, that He can do miracles, that He is sufficient, and that I can trust in Him. Father, today, I want to thank You for this reading. Incredible, all the miracles that Your Son, Jesus, performed. And to know, Father, that You are here with us. Your Spirit lives in us, lives in me. So help me not to be afraid. Help me not to be concerned with the storms that are in this life, because I know that You are there. I trust You. I believe in You. I hope in You. In Jesus' name, amen.